Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is a network TV actress, writer, voiceover artist, and award-winning playwright. Dina Lara is my guest today. As an actress, she has appeared in the CBS TV series, God Friended Me. She is also known for her performance on stage in the theatrical play, Girl Gone. Dina is a strong believer in faith and creating faith-based television and film projects. We'll be back in a moment with highlights of her amazing career as an actress and writer.
Can't escape disappointment, can't avoid the delay, but I don't have to make feeling down and defeated the place that I stay. Gonna rise to the moment, gonna speak to the waves, gonna push back the doubt that keeps dragging me down when I can't find a way. Don't need to see it, eyes on you, to believe it, from my brain through, before you even move or make a way. I was standing, faith, eyes on you, walk by the faith, from my brain through, live by the faith, before you.
Award-winning playwright, actress, and voiceover artist, Dina Lara, is coming up. When we come back, Dina shares highlights of her successful entertainment career, including what inspired her to write the play, Elephants and Other Worldly Dilemmas. Stay with us. We will be back with my guest, Dina Lara, after the break.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
I would like to welcome my guest, Dina Lara. Dina is an actress, writer, and voiceover artist. Welcome to the show, Dina.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Dina, you are an award-winning playwright, and your plays have been produced on both coasts with your most recent play, Elephants and Otherworldly Dilemmas, that won Fringe Fave in the 2015 New York International Fringe Festival. First of all, you know, I read a little bit about it. And I love the script, you know, sometimes it takes an elephant in the room to show you what you believe in.
Especially a dead one. Yeah.
I could really crack that when I read it. But my question to you is, where did the idea come from?
Oh, God, that is such a, you know.
How did you do it?
It's so funny because I had always written things that were set in more traditional settings, whether it's an office, a bar, or just things like that. And with Elephants and Otherworldly Dilemmas, when I was thinking, you know, I had literally said to somebody, I was at work, and they were like, are you going to write another play? And then I said, I don't know. And this just kind of came out of me. I was like, I don't know. I guess if God tells me what to write about, then I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I went to my other job and I had this friend named Martha, and she was just, we were all talking about, she, you know, was of strong faith in God and also nutrition. Yes. So she's talking about doing a water cleanse at work, and I hear her say that, and I'm like, oh, no, Martha, are you going to do a water cleanse? And she says, I don't know. I guess if God tells me to do it, then I'll do it. And so somebody, you know, I literally went the day Martha chose to ignore God, which was actually the original title of the play, and somebody walked in and said, that's really funny. And I went, oh, my God, that's going to be my next play. But from there, it was like, okay, well, what do I do with that? And so, you know, I had originally, like, where am I going to set this thing? And it's my natural go-to is, like, an office, because that's where I came from, the corporate world. And then one day I was having breakfast with somebody, and I said, you know, I really want to set this in a non-traditional environment. Do you have any ideas? And she said, what about a medical waste facility? And I said, medical waste facility? I don't know. What do they do there? Don't they, like, burn just, like, bandages and things like that? And she said, oh, no, my friend worked at one. And one time an elephant died at the zoo, and they brought it there, but it was so big it didn't fit in the incinerator, and they had to chop it up and burn it. So that's where I have to say, like, we, you know, they say good writers borrow great. Yeah, good writers borrow, great writers steal. So that's what Oscar Wilde said, and he's a pretty amazing writer. So I just thought, that is genius. I'm going to do it at a medical waste facility, and we're going to have a dead elephant, and no one knows what to do with it. And somehow it ties to the concept of faith. So long story, but a true one.
I know, but I knew there had to be something good behind it. You know, it was like, how in the world did she come up with this
It's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all about faith and how it affects the decisions that we make.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one character does not want to deal with this elephant. And the other one is like a science-minded guy is like, come on, you can do it. You can help me get rid of this elephant. You don't need to ask for a sign from God. And it's about the struggle between having faith in God versus faith in yourself, and that you can have both at the same time. So that's kind of what the play at the core deals with is faith and what it means to different people.
Well, I can see why.
Obviously.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I can see why it won awards. Yeah.
It's really fun because there's like Act One is in the medical waste facility. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but Act Two is in a bar in East Texas. So there's like that.
Uh-huh.
There's just, it's very wacky and fun, and it really suited like the Fringe Festival, which tends to attract those types of stories where they're a little bit wackier.
Right. Wow. I'm glad you told us the story because I love it. I wanted to hear all of that.
There's torn up pages in this book, words that tell me I'm no good, chapters that define me for so long. But the hands of grace and endless love dusted off and picked me up, told my heart that hope is never gone.
Live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actress and award-winning playwright Dina Laura continues. When we come back, Dina talks about what it was like to win an award for the first play she wrote. Stay with us. We will be back after the break.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Knowing that your work is resonating with your audience has to be thrilling. When did you write your first play?
My first play was On the Rocks, and I wrote it in 2007 with a friend of mine from the corporate world, Meena Radhakrishnan, and we just always met for tea and would talk about boys and relationships, and we were like, we got to write this down. So On the Rocks was born, and that's where what you're talking about with resonating, because it's about broken relationships. Someone came up to us after the show and said, thank you for writing this play. It helped me resolve a relationship that I had a question about in my life. So yeah, I think from the very beginning, I always wanted to tell stories that made people feel something or think about something in their own lives and, you know, have it relatable. So that was my first play, was with another person, and I've gone on to make a full-length screenplay on my own based on the play.
Now, your first play was On the Rocks, is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
And it won Best Audience at the Downtown Urban Theater Festival.
Yes.
Wow, that is incredible. I mean, your first play wins an award.
It really was exciting, but I do think with that one, because it was about broken relationships and people trying to find connection, I don't think there's ever going to be a time where that's not something that we all relate to. You know, no matter what generation you keep going forward in time, you're always going to relate to that. So I think that, and it was a comedy. And some people compared it to like a Nora Ephron type story, like A Sleepless in Seattle. Other people said it reminded them of Singles, Cameron Crowe. Which are both relationship, Cameron Crowe and Singles, it's relationship movies. And I just, stories. And I think people, those resonate forever. Mm-hmm. So I think that was part of it too. The audience really related to these characters because they weren't perfect. They were flawed.
Right. Well, and I don't know, coming in that way, you had to have known that that was what you were meant to do.
Yeah. It came out of me being an actor and just recognizing I'm not getting the roles that I want to play. So
right.
I'm going to write them. And that's what happened. You know, the play actually started in my acting studio. I was in Matthew Corzine Studios in New York. It's a Meisner-based studio. And he assigned the class a scene. He said, everybody write a scene and pick the two people in class that you want to read it. And I said to my friend Meena, all right, we've been talking about writing this play. I'm going to start writing it in acting class. And then let's see what happens. So that's really where it started happening, and it really came out of a desire to, you know, have roles that I could play. And I think a lot of actors start writing that for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I just find it so interesting, you know, because when you step out and do something like that and it's immediately a success, it just makes it that much more powerful. And that's exactly what happened with you, with writing. And you're a great actress on top of that, you know?
Oh, thank you so much. You know,
absolutely, absolutely. I think it's incredible. And also, music. We got music. Music was always it's always been in your family growing up.
Yes.
How did that motivate you to extend out and become an actress?
You know, that's interesting because, right, I started as a musician, you know, typical kid, parent throws you into lessons. So I was, you know, playing piano from like when I was like 7, classical, and then ended up playing for the choir when I was in high school. And then in concert band, I was one of those people, Bev, that could pick up an instrument and just learn how to play the basics of it quickly. Like, yeah. I learned how to play clarinet. I played the flute at one time, the French horn. And I really loved being a musician. But what I found when I was, like, let's say, accompanying the choir in high school, that everybody's singing on stage, and I'm like, wait, I want to be up there. So, and I did, too. I sang in the choir as well as the accompanist. We would take turns. But I found that when I was playing the piano, as much as I liked it, I was missing being on stage. And I think that's what made me, you know, and I was always in the cool, you know, the school productions, never having big parts or anything, but I always enjoyed being in the musicals. So I think I realized, ooh, I want to be up there singing. And then that's initially I went into musical theater because I loved singing. And so mm-hmm. I think that's really the transition for me was I loved being a musician, but I really wanted to be on stage as a performer, which sure I could have done as just a piano player, but I really liked right. the storytelling aspect that a musical offered me or even a play. And so that's where the transition yeah. started to happen, I would say, when I got into college.
Ah, and you started taking acting classes at that point.
Yeah, and we had a student-run theater. I went to the University of Delaware, and they do have a theater program there, but I was actually an accounting major. Yep. I like my right and my left brain. So I was an accounting major, and I was a part of Yeah, I love numbers. They make sense. They're always black and white, and there's something beautiful about that because creativity is all gray. So I was part of Harrington Theater Arts Company, which was a student-run theater organization at the University of Delaware. So we did everything ourselves, and that was so exciting, you know, to be able to – it was just the students putting it all together. We directed it ourselves. We picked the material we were doing, and I really loved being a part of it. And that's really where I started realizing, oh, I think I actually want to do this. I think I always knew I wanted to do it, but I don't think I admitted it to myself out loud until I was in college. And I think that group really helped me, you know, solidify that. And I'm still friends with some of those people from the group. So it just shows you it really stayed with me, that experience. And, you know, I got to do Arsenic and Old Lace. I did Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, where, of course, they used women for some of the brothers because they couldn't get men. So that was fun. Yeah. I was Judah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great. That's great.
Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart.
Yeah.
My interview with actress, playwright Dina Laura continues after the break.
I'm Naheem Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Your short film, Pillow Talk. Now, I really love the synopsis on that, you know, about the mother with Gorney, who played the mom.
Yes, Karen Lynn Gorney, right, from Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, from Saturday Night Fever. And the Jewish mother relationship, mother-daughter relationship thing. I just think that is the cutest story. Do you want to talk about that, about how that went? I mean, because you played the daughter, right?
Yes, I did. We were, Ma and Lauren, and we, you know, Karen will like, you know, she called me like about 6 months ago or so and was like, we need to make a sitcom out of that movie, The Adventures of Ma and Lauren, like just continue it because it is, they are two really good characters. And I think part of the reason that is it was birthed out of a real life experience during the pandemic. You know, I'm isolated, my mom's isolated, we were all isolated. And in the middle of the night, I'm not kidding, I heard the loudest crash and I was so scared. So who do I call? My Jewish mother. I'm like, Mom, oh my God, like, I can't, I just heard
I
a crash.
And so I'm like,
and I was there, yes. And so it's really true. And I locked my bedroom door. Cause, and then I'm like, and my mom is like, do you have anything in your room that you could use? Like a bat? Like I keep a bat under my bed, and with her Bronx accent and everything. And
so
this really came out of, they do say a lot of times, you know, write what you know. And this really was something I knew. She stayed up all night with me talking because we're like, my mom, it was in the early days of the pandemic. So she's like, well, you could call 911, but then if they come, what if one of the officers has the virus? You know? So it was all these crazy things that the next day are hysterical, but as you're going through it, it's terrifying. So she literally stayed up all night just talking to me, and then I finally worked up the courage to open the door. And of course, it was just something fell out of the closet. But which, you know, but at the time you're like, oh my God, and you're listening at the door and panicking, what if someone's in here? So yeah, so I think Pillow Talk, I think it was just such a happy accident, honestly, that happened, because it gave birth mm-hmm. to this, you know, fun story that I got to, you know, work on with Karen, and we had done a play together several years earlier. So it was nice to really get a chance to work with her again on film.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was just cute, you know, about the smothering mother and the daughter, you know, hooking up, you know, during that encounter. I just thought it was really, really a nice synopsis.
And my mother, yeah. Beth, is smothering for sure.
Smothering, smothering mother, smothering mother.
That's
yes.
right. That's right.
I like it. Now, the other one yes. I was looking at was No Place Is Home, and that took my interest, too, because it's like it's about a chance encounter between a teenage boy and a homeless woman.
Right. And that was also birthed out of something real, because I worked with somebody that was talking about how he, you know, he was a skateboarder as a teenager, and he would skateboard next to this tent community. It was right after the housing collapse of 2008. And he would talk to the people and what he learned about home and what it means to different people really was a game changer for him. The concept of home, it's not necessarily a roof, you know, over you. And so I think him telling me those stories was really inspiring, and it took me a number of years to write it. At first, I envisioned it as a play because that's what I had been writing at the time. And then I just thought, during the pandemic, I thought, wow, this could be a really good short film to follow up Pillow Talk, because Pillow Talk was a comedy and No Place Is Home is more of a drama. And so mm-hmm. that's what happened. I ended up writing it. And we shot it last summer, and now we're applying to festivals, and we'll see. And, you know, at the core of the story, it really is how this woman who is unhoused, how she affects Ethan, the teenage skateboarder, and helps redefine what home means to him. And yeah. I love stories like that. I like watching them. I like writing them, how other people impact other people's lives. And that's what I feel like they walk away and both of their lives have been impacted by their chance encounter.
Well, I mean, everything I've read that you've done so far has been that way. I mean, that's how you've written everything. And it's very inspirational.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, I love it. I just love it. It makes me want to read more. So I'm like, what's next?
Hey, feel free. I'll send you some scripts. I wrote a superhero. Yeah. I wrote a superhero pilot that I don't know if you called She Hero. And I wrote that with the Sundance collab. And that one has won a couple of awards. And that one, you know, is really like, it's like, I guess it's not necessarily the most unique thing that I've done, but like, you know, veering into the superhero world was not necessarily something I had thought, but I, you know, all of a sudden I thought, you know, all these people that are superheroes, they're always like these young, virile, strong, you know, individuals. What if two middle-aged women randomly got superhero powers and used them to help people, what mm-hmm. would happen then? So that's really, and it's, you know, it's two women and one is transgender and they're best friends from childhood. So it's them navigating this new dynamic of one of the women was formerly a male and them navigating that. And then navigating these superhero powers, and one of them owns a bar. So most of it is set in a bar, which is, you know, a really fun environment, I feel like, for a story. So that one I'm really excited about. And, you know, and I'm about to do another rewrite of it. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, wow.
Then.
Great. Well, I'll have to look out for that. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was my next question. What's next?
I think that is, honestly, She Hero to work on that. I also, I'm in an acting class now with Glenn Morshower, who's an amazing amazing actor, and he has this workshop called the Extra Mile Workshop, where it's half mindfulness work. So this all the spiritual stuff, and then we go through scene work. And he, like my other acting teacher, so ironic, he also had us write scenes recently. So I wrote this scene. I don't know if you know this, but some stores have like jails, these temporary jails where they put shoplifters. Macy's.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Macy's in 34th Street, Herald Square, they don't have it anymore, but they did for a long time. And so I wrote a scene about Macy's jail, about these two women that got caught shoplifting and they ended up in Macy's jail. And it's just this 5-minute little vignette of them, what they go through, and people have been loving it and people think it's so funny. So that's another thing that might be next for me, is figuring out how to translate that, because the class is on Zoom. So we did the scene over Zoom, and now figuring out, okay, how do I make it cinematic and translate it into a short film? So that may be the other thing that's next for me, those two things, to really focus on those. And then if I could say one more, it would be in 2021, I did a project called Connection 365, where I spoke to a different person every single day, did not skip a day the whole year, and I hit all 7 continents, including Antarctica. I actually got someone in Antarctica to speak to me, and it was over Zoom. And I thought that that would be a book, an interesting book. What is it like? It's pandemic or no pandemic, because that was kind of still a pandemic year, 2021. But I, even on a non-pandemic year, to talk to a different person every day, some perfect strangers that I had never met before, it is harder than I thought. And I'm an extremely outgoing person. And it was, you know, it was challenging, but wonderful. So that would be something also that I really, whether I make it into a book or a play or a film, whatever it ends up being, I really do. Those are probably the three things that I really would like to do in the, you know, near future, on the horizon.
Oh, well, that sounds great. I'm excited about all of it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. We must also mention on your actress, as being an actress, you've appeared on God Friended Me on CBS.
Yes.
Girl Gone, the Actors Temple Theater.
Yeah.
And From Silence, Theater for the New City. So I just wanted to bring that up. You've got some acting credits for that as well. Is there anything I've missed that you want to bring up?
Let's see. I mean, From Silence is where that was a play about the Holocaust, and that's where I met Karen Lynn Borney. We did that together. So that play will always be near and dear to my heart. I'm hoping, you know, now what I would love, like with my acting, is to go back and do some more theater. You know, for a while, I think people were on the fence, some people doing theater, not doing theater. And now, you know, as much as I love doing film and television, I come from theater. So that's something that, you know, I think it's important to mention, that I really would like to do some more plays, because there's just something about a live audience. It's so thrilling and terrifying at the same time. So I'm hoping, you know, that's something that, you know, I see more and more opportunities for theater. So I would really, you know, I hope in the next year I get to be in a play again, because it's been since, you know, I did Girl Gone. That was literally right before lockdown, and I haven't done a play since. So I would really like to get back to doing some theater, and acting in something, you know, like No Place Is Home. That one I wrote, and I had a small part in it, and now just do some more things that I didn't write. Less pressure that way when you didn't write it, because there's so much going on when you're the one that wrote it and you take part in it. So.
Yeah, I can see that. So how do you continue a flow of creativity?
Oh, that is the million-dollar question, right, for everybody.
It is.
Right, for anything in this world. I think for me, I always need to have a to-do list, like things that, you know, what are my top things? What are other things? And just make sure I'm always looking at those to make sure that I'm staying creative. Oh, yeah. I want to work on that. I got to get back to that. And really what has helped me stay on target with doing creative things, honestly, I tell a lot of people about this, and I heard about this myself on a writing podcast. I use Pomodoros. They're like, you know, timers, and the standard Pomodoro is like 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off. And when you do four of them, you get a 30-minute break. And I know that sounds so methodical and heady, but it really is what allows me to stay creative. When I wrote the Macy's jail scene for class, I knew I didn't have a lot of time that week. So I would just hit the Pomodoro timer. And when you do it, it's like you're committing. Pomodoro basically says for the next 25 minutes, nothing else exists except for the thing that I'm focusing on, that I have chosen
right.
to do. And so
right.
using Pomodoros for me has helped me, in a way, freed me up, because it's like, oh, my God, for the next 25 minutes, this is all I have to pay attention to. I don't have to worry about an email. I don't have to worry about somebody calling me. I'm just doing this. And it really allows me. Yes. Yes. So I feel like sometimes bringing in things like that that seem very methodical are actually what frees you up to be more creative and open.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only. the kind of love that God only knows.
When we come back, actress Dina Lara shares encouraging words of wisdom for up-and-coming performers. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break.
As a veteran, you get a lot of advice. But wisdom's harder to come by. A lot of people imagine themselves in our shoes without understanding the weight on our shoulders. The truth is, few can understand the pressure of finding your own way after serving in the military. But few isn't none. You've got support. You can't control the chaos, but you can chart your way through it. Steady yourself. Take a breath. You're not alone. Learn more at maketheconnection.net.
Well, let me ask you this. In what ways do you set yourself apart from others as far as, you know, a screenwriter? Because I already know you're unique. I mean, but I want to hear it from you.
Oh, thank you so much. I think for me, the main reason I write is to touch other people's lives. And I think that is, for me, what I feel like separates me from other people. Like, other people say, oh, I have to write. If I don't write, I feel like I'm dying, or whatever version that is for them. But for me, yes, I do like writing. But my main purpose is to touch other people's lives and make them think and feel, whether mm-hmm. it's to laugh, make them question something. And I do think that is what motivates me. Every story that I've written so far has been, now whether I achieve it or not, you have to ask the people that are on the receiving end of the story. But that is the goal that I'm trying to accomplish, as opposed to, I just want to write pretty words, or I, you know, for me, it's, let me make sure I make an impact on somebody, and then I'm going to know that my story
right.
was worth it. It was worth telling because it made a difference in somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
why I said the On the Rocks story earlier, that it helped somebody resolve a relationship. That meant more
yeah.
to me than, and
yeah.
I was in the play. I don't remember anything that anyone told me about my acting, but I still remember that story about On the Rocks. So I think for me, that's been the through line of everything I write. Is it going to touch
yeah.
me and make a difference?
Yeah. Well, you answered it right. You did good.
Oh. Thank you so much,
good
Deb.
Answer. Good answer.
Yay.
Dina. Good answer.
Yay.
Right.
Happy to hear that.
Oh, right. Well, let me ask you this before we close, okay? What would you like to suggest to youth, to the youth out there, about becoming successful in life?
Oh, well, for one thing, the number one thing, you know, I mean, talent, all, you know, you can say talent, discipline, those are all prerequisites. I could speak. Those are all prerequisites. But I think a positive attitude is the most important thing, because it's what's going to get you through. Even in the down times, if you can somehow, you know, Glenn always says in acting class, the extra mile workshop, things go well for me. And he said,
mm-hmm.
you know, he says that the most important time to say that is when they're not going well. And to really just tell yourself that, things go well for me. And it starts to really sink in. And the more you can embrace that, then the times that are low start to become less and less. So I think that having the positive attitude is so key, and the desire, because that just keeps pushing you. And to me,
mm-hmm.
that is the most important thing. So to really work you know, yes, we all need to work on our craft. We should take classes, writing classes, acting classes, voice lessons if you're a singer. But what sometimes people leave out of the equation is telling you you have to work on your mindset. You know, if your mindset isn't there, all your talent isn't going to matter because you're not going to be motivated to use it. So I think the mindset is the most important thing, and to always work on that. And it can be as simple as taking a walk. Whatever it is that gives you joy and lights you up, you should make sure you do one thing like that every single day to really help, you know, get your mindset get into the right place so that you're ready to work and pursue your dreams.
And believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Oh, having faith, for sure. But I think with a positive mindset, that just naturally flows out of that.
Right, right, absolutely. Great advice. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Dina, this has been great, I have to say. A great interview.
Oh.
And I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on the Bev Moore Show.
We do want to thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you. You're very welcome. And we wish you continued success from here on out.
That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dina Lara, known for appearing in CBS Network's TV series, God Friended Me. She is also known for her performance on stage in the theatrical play, Girl Gone. As a writer, her plays have been produced at theaters across the United States. We wish Dina Lara continued success. Thank you for listening to The Bev Moore Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio on the iHeart Network worldwide. I'm Bev Moore. Until next time, bye-bye.
You're vast like the ocean, yet the voices in your head have got you. You don't really know how powerful you are. Always in motion, I smile to myself as I watch you. You don't need to win me over, I've been yours. You don't need to dress it up, no, no. Don't need to put on airs to make me care. You got that golden touch, oh yeah. I mean, I know you're scared, but are you aware? You are made of stardust, the universe inside you, yeah. A straight up miracle, it's so incredible how you sometimes can forget. You're brilliant like stars. The same, hey, love's made of lessons through all the hell and all the hallelujah. You don't need to worry, I'm not playing games. You don't need to dress it up, no, no. Don't need to put on airs to make me care. Yeah, you got that golden child.
Oh,